Liberty University today, an influential Christian college in Virginia. The man who's issuing marriage licenses today in Kentucky's Rowan County is Deputy Clerk Brian Mason. His boss, Kim Davis, returning to work today, but won't issue licenses nor interfere with her deputies granting them. Mason has already issued a license to one same-sex couple this morning. OPEC has cut its oil production forecast for countries like the U.S. that are not members of the cartel. Correspondent Jeremy House has details.
The group says it lowered its forecast for daily oil supply growth this year from non-member states by 72,000 barrels a day to 880,000 due to lower than anticipated output in the U.S. For 2016, it trimmed its forecast by 110,000 barrels to 160,000. The cartel also hiked its forecast for global demand growth this year by about 84,000 barrels a day to 1.46 million and by 50,000 to 1.29 million barrels for 2016. Jeremy House reporting.
The price of oil has fallen this year amid strong supply and weaker demand from energy-hungry economies like China. For more details, townhall.com.
Good afternoon at 12:02. I'm Ed Alexander on AM 1030. KVOI, The Voice. This news provided by Tucson News Now. A young girl saw her mother die Saturday night after a driver ran over her mom while the two were walking along South Nogales Highway near Elvira Road. 38-year-old Marissa Robles was pronounced dead at the scene. Her 11-year-old daughter was rushed to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Investigators pursued evidence found at the scene, and with the help of canine and air units, officers later arrested a 22-year-old Joshua Ochoa without a struggle. They believe speed and alcohol were factors in the crash. Ochoa was booked in Pima County Jail on numerous counts. While many cities across the United States have bounced back from the recession, which officials say ended 6 years ago, Arizona cities are not doing so well. WalletHub.com's latest listing, released this morning, ranks the most recession-recovered cities. The highest-ranking Arizona city was Scottsdale at 114, Phoenix was 139, and Tucson ranked 149 out of 150 cities surveyed. The rankings were based on 10 categories, including poverty rate, unemployment rate, violent crime, public assistance, and home appreciation. You can see the complete report at WalletHub.com. Tucson weather, chance of some showers, isolated showers here and there. Not sure where they're going to pop up this afternoon and evening. Look for a high today about 95, 92 tomorrow and Wednesday. It's the Buckmaster Show next on AM 1030 KVOI. Tucson's intelligent voice.
All righty, here we go with a new week. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ed Alexander producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass, and we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday. It is September the 14th, 2015, coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and the station's fine website, kvoi.com. We have our podcasts and our archive of all of our shows 24/7 for your listening pleasure at buckmastershow.com. We begin with our Monday political face-off, followed at 12:30 with our monthly conversation with the foreign and military affairs contributor to our show, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham. The live line number 790-2040, and we're ready to take your calls at any time. And if you'd like to become a member of the show, a friend of the show, we hope you will. Our Facebook page is under my name, Bill Buckmaster. And we're now doing Twitter. So Twitter is at Buckmaster Show. So if you're into Twitter, you can follow us that way as well on social media. And in a few minutes, we'll be giving away four tickets to the University of Arizona NAU football game coming up Saturday night. The Cats taking care of business up in the Reno area, now 2-0, and well, soon to be 3-0 after NAU, I'm sure. All right. Time for the Monday political face-off commentators today. Bob Westerman. Bob is with us. Bob, former chair of the Pima County Republican Party, and Vince Robigo, longtime Democrat Party activist, former Arizona Attorney General candidate, and head of the Hispanic Caucus for the Democratic Party of Pima County. The Monday political face-off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Vince and Bob, how was the weekend?
Great, great.
Great weekend. Yeah, so we're excited to start with a good week now. Brand new
big
Monday.
Rain yesterday on the west side was just
what'd you get,
fantastic.
About 2 inches?
Yeah, the washes ran, you know.
Oh, yeah, just, I know. I saw your picture on Facebook. It looked like there was a river in your backyard.
Right.
Or a wash or something else. And, Vince, you're from the community of Douglas. Didn't they have a terrible fire down there
last week? They did. They had a very big fire, and my understanding is at the old Newberry's building. And started late in the evening, one or two in the morning, and big giant fire. Probably had about 30 firefighters, 3 different agencies fighting the fire. And so I was just thankful that nobody was injured. None of the firefighters, first responders. My cousin is the chief of the fire department down there. My dad was a longtime 35-year member of the fire department there, started way back when. So I was glad that nobody was injured, and it's sad to lose a piece of iconic Americana in terms of the history.
Was it vacant,
the
building, or were there?
No, there was a store in there now, different name, but there was a store there.
Well, it's not what Douglas needs, one less store.
No, that's exactly right. It's been got hit, the economy ever since the mines eventually shut down. The economy was hit very hard, and I don't know that it's fully rebounded there.
Bob Westerman, the new polling is out. Trump and Dr. Carson topping the GOP race. Hillary Clinton is leading the Democrats, but her support has dropped. I think she's down about 10 points in Iowa. It seems, Bob, that no matter what Trump says, he does not lose any traction in the polls. He actually gains.
Yeah, he does. And I think a lot of people underestimate Donald Trump. They try to paint him into this picture where he says, okay, where he stands on the issues and that's what's going to trip him up. That's not how Donald's running the campaign. He knows that he's an entertainer. He knows how to market. He knows how to brand. This guy is and he's not doing this just happenstance. This guy is smarter than people, give him credit for. This guy knows how to run any kind of a campaign in this respect. I mean, he was producer of The Apprentice. He knows how to market that. He's marketing his campaign kind of the same way.
And he's running the campaign. The Washington Post had a piece over the weekend that he does not have a lot of handlers around him, which is traditional for a lot of most presidential
campaigns. Well, he doesn't have anybody you can actually see, but I guarantee you Donald Trump has got people on his payroll that's getting up information to him, both on the candidates and on the issues.
Is Hillary in trouble, Vince?
I don't think she's in trouble, but I think I'm not one of those people of any political party that believes in a coronation. I think it's a healthy thing to have multiple candidates. I was happy to see O'Malley in the race, and of course Sanders is certainly causing a great deal of excitement for a lot of folks, not just Democrats actually. So I'm okay with that. I think it's so premature. The media and today's political watching world is so caught up in the horse race and who's ahead right now. We are in September 2015. And people need to remember that. Let me just look back at recent history of the last time we had a presidential election. Remember who was leading ahead of everybody on the Republican side? Michelle Bachmann. Remember that?
Yep. Mm.
Let's go back to Howard Dean, and he was really pushing far ahead. And so there's so many examples of sort of the who's the latest thing, who's catching the fire of some of the base, and this can be on both sides of the aisles. I've pointed out. I think Mr. Westerman is correct that Donald Trump is a master of branding. He is very clever. He's not a rocket scientist. That doesn't mean he's super smart, but being clever, right, and ruthless and efficient is how he's made, you know, quite a lot of money and left a trail of you know, bankruptcies and other problems behind. He's not one to be underestimated. I agree with Mr. Weston.
You know, and going back to Hillary, you know, Clinton, I think that I think you're right. You know, you talk about her maybe being down, but you know, Hillary behind the scenes is gathered up delegates and super delegates. And you know, when it comes to the getting the nomination, it's not about polls; it's about delegates. I tell you, Hillary's pretty savvy about that because I think she was taken to the cleaners by Obama back when she ran, so she's learned that lesson well. And so, you know, you got to look at the delegates. Also, I think, like you say, with Donald Trump, you know, it's not going to be the issue so much. I mean, when's the last time a president won on the issues? There was a lot of it had to do with their personality and what was going on. And it's either they're going to be elected based on what they do on the debates and how they come across on all the night shows and all the other that were 80% of America watches. You know, us political people, we think we know it all, but really we're the only ones that know this stuff because the 80% of America, they don't take the time to go into the issues like we do.
I think that's right. And the other thing is, with Sanders doing well in those few states, and mind you, he is doing well, but it's nothing dramatic. If you look at the Washington Post, and I think it was Washington Post, maybe ABC poll, I forget what it was, big poll just came out.
Mm-hmm.
He's 2 points, I think, behind Joe Biden, who's not even running.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the big picture, sure, has he come up? Is he gathering excitement compared to somebody who has been working it very hard and who is, by and large, the favorite amongst many Democrats across the country to Hillary? Has she dropped? Absolutely. Did she mishandle how she responded to this issue with the emails? I think she did. Does the poll say that 50% of Americans think it's a non-issue? I agree with that. But I think it's a concern of how she handled it. So that's why she dropped. But she's going to be running harder than ever when you see someone like Bernie Sanders doing well in Iowa or the other state. I just got off the phone a little while ago with a longtime Democratic strategist who now lives in Iowa. And, you know, he's going to say the same thing I just said, which is it is early. You got to focus on the long-term race. You got to focus on the delegates. And the same thing on you look on the other hand, you look at Trump. He's gimmicky. It's all about the show. I mean, it's almost coming across.
Which gets him on TV all the time.
Exactly. And I'm not sure. I mean, I know he says he's running for it, but you almost wonder, is he truly? I mean, he doesn't really care, it seems.
On that same vein, Hillary's advisors, now I guess she's gotten some spiritual advice, that says that she needs to treat the media better. And so now she's taken a different attitude on how she approaches the media, which kind of plays into the same kind of thing, you know, how you play the media. And I think Hillary's taken a change in that. Should be interesting.
And she's been long criticized by the media for not having access to her. And so, you know, the reality is, and I think it was one of Obama's advisors, speaking of Twitter, Bill, one of Obama's longtime advisors, I think it was Axelrod, tweeted something about the fact that she really needs to have a more, a message that really grabs people in the Democratic camp. Because, you know, it's something like...
Sanders has done.
What Sanders has done, whereas what the Axelrod was saying, something like, you know, you have to have a forest... that describes the trees have to describe what's in the forest,
right.
and it can't be just, you know, Hillary 2016, live with it for Democrats, right?
So, you know, and in this upcoming debate, who do you think, Vince, is going to be the two that are going to go after it the most?
Oh, in the upcoming Republican
debate? Carly and Trump. I'll throw my two cents. Go ahead.
I think that's probably a good guess. You know, what's really interesting is what you see is you're going to see a growing backlash, I think, and you can add to this. Obviously, this is your side of the aisle, Bob. But I know that a lot of the anti-tax folks, the Club for Growth, they're coming out with a massive ad campaign starting tomorrow to attack Donald Trump.
Are they?
Yes. And so you're going to see a number of different types of groups, I think, on the conservative side of the aisle that are not happy with how he's commandeered this race away from talking about the Republican principles or vision for America.
And people who attack Donald Trump come back pretty, you know, they get damaged by Donald Trump. Should be interesting. But the person that didn't get hit hard and actually came back strong was Carly, because he went after them based on the face thing, giving Carly, I think, a great campaign slogan to go, this is the face of, you know, women. And it's going to make I think that's going to really help Carly.
That's what I think a lot of people will be watching for and listening for, because we have exclusive coverage here on the Salem Radio Network for the debate on Wednesday. Our coverage begins at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then don't forget, at 1 o'clock, right after the Buckmaster Show, Mike Shaw will be hosting a debate between Ray Carroll and Supervisor Ally Miller. They're going to be debating the bond issue, so we've got all sorts of political stuff coming up for you on Wednesday. Let's take Dan real quickly, Ed, and then we'll take the break. Okay, Dan, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your show. Mm-hmm. Some of us are very confused about this Sanders situation. He claims and runs as a socialist. I'm wondering how he can be running on a freedom-loving Democrat Party if he claims to be a socialist and not a Democrat.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Go ahead, Vince.
Well, you know, what he doesn't claim to be a socialist. He claims to be a democratic socialist. So there is a big difference if you know the difference between the terms. I did not like the fact that he would not just call himself an outright Democrat for many years. So there's many folks in the base, so to speak. So it's not socialism as it's been described, and sort of the nefarious version. He's for
more of the
capitalism,
Scandinavian model.
Yeah, something where there's progressive. Yeah. Where we're trying to take care of everybody, but it does believe in capitalism. It does believe in freedom. It's a different story. But here's my concern. My concern, or maybe this is what the voters are saying. If you look at both whether Trump or Sanders, what they are tapping into is a tremendous amount of agitation amongst those that are tired of our system not working.
And that's what we're going to pick up on, Bob Westerman, when we take our break. But right now, call for a chance to win 4 tickets. This is the whole deal for the family here. 4 tickets to this week's U of A football game. The Wildcats face NAU Saturday. Kickoff is at 8 p.m. at Arizona Stadium. So we're going to take the 4th caller to will win those 4 tickets.
Bob's getting his cell phone out.
You can also get tickets online at arizonawildcats.com/beardown. 4th caller.
That's 790-2040.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
In southern Arizona, if you don't have termites yet, you will. Five-Star Termite and Pest Control treats what the termites are after, your home. Don't treat the dirt, earth, ground, or soil. Foam the home. Call 5-Star at 886-0045. Subterranean termites? Bad. 5-Star Termite and Pest Control? Good. Soil treatments? Silly. Patented foaming treatment process? Smart. Homeowner who wants effective termite treatment? Contacts 5-Star at 886-0045 and 5startermite.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday for a newsmaker interview with Pima Community College Chancellor Lee Lambert. Also, Tucson Weekly Arts writer Margaret Regan with the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, with anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and archive on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Wall and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course, Moe's on Facebook, place for all of your framing needs. Moe and his family can certainly take care of it. We want to congratulate John C. John has won 4 University of Arizona tickets. That's great. The whole family can go to the game, to the NAU game, and we're happy to give John those 4 tickets from KVOI and the University of Arizona. Anyway, we have Bob Westerman with us, and we have Vince Robigo, and we're talking about Donald Trump. And Bob Westerman, this is kind of the year of the outsider, because you look at the way Trump is doing, you look at the way that Dr. Carson is doing, and in some ways, Bernie Sanders kind of an outsider.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's how he's been looked at by the party, you know. And he's, but you know, Bernie is he's done really well. He's caught fire down in New Hampshire, and he's beating Hillary in Iowa, and so you know, you gotta give him credit for all that. But, you know, Biden's coming up with numbers without even being in the race yet. He had like 21% on a poll recently, where Sanders had 24%. That's pretty close for not being in the race.
That's right. And, you know, and like I said, it's early, but if he's going to move, he's going to have to move, you know, probably in the next, you know, I would say 2 to 3 weeks. He's going to have to either decide or not, because the longer you wait, it's about funding a big massive campaign like this. And so, you know, all the big dogs, whether it's, you know, Jeb Bush or on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton, they've been raising tons of money, as well as these sort of ancillary supporting organizations, these PACs and super PACs are raising tons of money to shape the opinions of voters in these, particularly in the early primary states.
Yeah, that money is important. That's probably why Perry dropped out of the race. He just ran out of money.
That's right.
Well, Biden has to be kind of careful in not insulting the women Democratic voters, who really are pointing to Hillary as their candidate.
Well, there is a little bit of that dilemma, and, mm-hmm. and the reality is you know, with someone who's been around for so long and done so many things, whether it be in a professional career or as a United States Senator or a Secretary of State, you build up a long resume of one we've never seen. In a candidate for president on that's a female. On the flip side, having such a long political history and having been married to a former president, there's also all kinds of political hits that are going to, you know, people have things that they can bring up and that they want to attack her on and bring it up. So it's a double-edged sword. But, you know, I was talking to someone just yesterday about this, and a Democratic female voter, and she was saying the same thing, that when are we as a country, we haven't had somebody of that caliber as a potential presidential nominee, and to for us to reach that point in this country, in this debate in our country, I think it's a great thing. Biden does have to be careful in light of that, but more so, she's been working hard for a long time building this up, reaching out to delegates, right. As Bob Westerman was mentioning earlier. And so there's a lot of legwork that goes into this, and there was, I think there was, you know, I'll be the first to say it, I think she mishandled how she responded to this email debate. It gets too complicated. People want to see the simple thing, and they hear that there was, you know, top secret emails going out, when the reality is the classification came afterwards. At the time that we're being sent, most of that I don't think was an issue. But it just speaks to a question of judgment and also how you respond to a crisis when that's coming up. And she's handled it now, responded. But you have to also wonder if there's not some double standards being played in the media. There were issues with Jeb Bush emails. When George Bush was president, there was entire thousands of emails related to the U.S. attorney scandal that were just gone. And never coughed up. So you know, it's not the first time.
But it's the first time somebody had their own private server. And that is a huge, that's a huge thing. And it's one thing about using your own private email, but she took the extra step of having a private server. You know, and I
don't
take
disagree
a, I
with
take
that.
A little bit, you know, objection to the fact, the thing about the security piece. I've had a security clearance most of my life. People who are in security know how you're briefed in, read in. It is a very, very, you know, they watch that very closely. And, you know, she reads these emails. She knows, without it being marked secret, she knows this is secret stuff. And she, and you have a responsibility to contact the right people and tell them, look, I just got this email. This is classified information. We need to go clean this up and not make sure it happened. So it's one thing about saying, no, it wasn't marked up, got to me, not my fault. However, what you do at that point is what you have your responsibility to take care of. She didn't do that, and that kind of worries me about that.
Well, I don't disagree that that's of concern anytime you have anybody using a private email. I'm a big believer that government officials should not utilize a private email system to circumvent anything. So if you want to kind of bring back that to focus, for example, Scott Walker, when he was governor, actually had a political server, and he was running a sort, and he was using that for government functions in the actual I don't know if you, what you call
governor's
it,
state
governor's mansion, and he was running all email traffic through that. It was a big scandal. I think it's totally inappropriate. Government officials, we need to have transparency, and so I would agree to the extent that we should not have that ever.
Whether it be Walker or Clinton or anybody else involved in this kind of this type of activity, they need to be held responsible for.
I don't disagree with having those kind of standards. Should not have private email.
Shouldn't have dual standards. And, you know, there's a lot of people that have been already convicted of crimes in that area. You know, to let this go without any kind of response.
Well, but she wasn't breaking any rules or any laws, though. That's the issue.
All right.
That's what people need to focus on.
I think we'll find out.
Richard has been waiting for us patiently at 790-2040. Hello, Richard.
Well, you know, when it comes to the Clintons, the baggage is the problem. You know, Bill signed NAFTA. Historically, this has hurt our middle class more than anything else. And then Hillary went along with the Iraq War disaster. She's barely apologized for it. The other thing that's hurt our country enormously and destroyed Iraq. We are a nation that can't even get honest about what we did over there. The Clintons have so much baggage. She's unfit for office. And, of course, so many of the Republican candidates are extremists also have, you know, would go along with the Iraq War. Would go along with NAFTA, you know. And the thing about her emails is, you know, did she use her position to influence peddle for foreign corporations and countries who gave to her foundation? And if she did, is that against the law? Where does she draw the line? Do the Clintons have any boundaries whatsoever? They sold our country out.
Okay.
She committed a war crime by voting for the Iraq War. My God in heaven.
All right.
Most of these candidates...
Thank you, Richard. Go ahead, Vince Robigo.
Well, I'm happy to respond to that. You know, when Bill Clinton left office, we had a surplus. The budget was balanced. He did a tremendous number of positive things for this country. And to say that Hillary Clinton is not fit for office is I don't believe even that's not even a debatable issue. You may disagree with her politics, or you may disagree with certain issues, but I'll, you know, I haven't declared my support for any of the candidates, but I'll be happy to stand strong and support her candidacy as being eligible, and to sort of just bash her and just bash that Clinton's legacy is not fair when you compare who was in office, and it was George W. Bush and his administration that pushed for invading Iraq on what we're starting to find out on evidence that was inappropriate. Very interesting piece in Salon, very specifically, that was brought up recently talking about treaties and NAFTA and trade deals that showed that on the eve of making the case for the war in Iraq, that President Bush and Alberto Gonzalez at the time actually classified certain types of documents related to their receipt from other countries. And it's believed at this point that the British government probably had already informed the United States that this yellow cake issue was a fraud, and that the informant that they were relying on was a fraud.
Okay.
And so, you know, to try to blame that on Hillary Clinton, I think, is beyond the pale.
Thank you, Vince. Bob, you want to have the final word there?
Well, you know, I think that when it comes to what the advisors told Bush back in Iraq, there's a lot of discussion about that. As a matter of fact, right now there's a talk about the advisors to Barack Obama right now providing him with reports that have been changed and the information has been either edited or changed out to give a different picture of what's going on with ISIS today. And because if you look at the advisors' reports, the way they originally came out, ISIS is still a very dangerous organization, and they're actually getting better. You know, you go back to those discussions about what advisors provide the president and things like that. I think you got to look very seriously on how those reports are handled.
All right. We're going to have to wrap it up. Bob Westerman, Vince Ravigo. Vince and Bob, hope you both have a great week.
Thank you.
You too.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's Gallery at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Moe, for all of your custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. We have General John Wickham coming up next, 790-2040. If you have any questions or comments on foreign affairs, now's your opportunity. Be right back.
Are you tired all the time, finding it hard to lose weight or get results at the gym? Maybe you've lost the desire to exercise at all. We may be able to help. At Epic Health, we do a free health screening worth $1,600 that screens for testosterone levels, vitamin deficiencies, various cancers, and a lot more. Epic Health is located at Grant and Swan at Crossroads East by Outback Steakhouse. Call 448-0401 or visit epicmenshealth.com. That's E-P-O-C-H, menshealth.com. Real doctors, real medicine, Epic Health.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, the Monday edition. General John Wickham was appointed by President Reagan as the 33rd United States Army Chief of Staff. Just prior to that appointment, he commanded all American and UN forces in Korea. He wrote a book called Korea on the Brink about the challenges that he faced. He served two combat tours in Vietnam and was seriously wounded on the first tour, where he earned two Silver Stars, a Bronze Star for Valor, and a Purple Heart. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the United States Army. In 1987, he retired with 8 Distinguished Service Medals. General Wickham resides in Oro Valley, and we're always honored to have him once a month, usually the first Monday of the month, with us on the Buckmaster Show. General, how are you?
Oh, we're doing fine, Bill. Wonderful to be on your great program.
Well, you know, you're a former, you know about Army Rangers and the training, the rigorous training that goes into becoming a Ranger. And now we've had women competing with the men in those very, very difficult obstacle courses. General Wickham, how have the women fared?
They've done well. And I think it's a tribute to America that we've got young women that want to serve and want to serve alongside men, and they've done well. As you know, Bill, all of our wars, we've had women serving many times in combat with men, not as infantry, not as artillery or armor, but they've been serving. So it's good news. The difficulty is going to be to develop the culture, to change the culture, to accept women. We don't do it adequately in the military right now. The Marine Corps probably is the worst. Maybe the Army and the Air Force are the best, but we've still got a long way to go in terms of equality.
Well, how rigorous is that testing for Army Rangers?
It's very rigorous. They have to live in a swampy area and in the high mountains of Georgia. Very rigorous physical training. We have a granddaughter who is a military police lieutenant and executive officer of a company at Fort Campbell. And she was thinking about going into the Rangers herself, and she could have done it. She's very competitive. So I'm encouraged. When I was head of the Army, I opened up more occupational skills for women than historically we've ever done. And when you open it up, you have to begin to think about, if you're going to give women, that's a difficulty with Rangers. If you're going to give Ranger school women qualifications, we need to allow them to go into Ranger regiment and to be able to compete with men to schools and advanced training. And we're not there yet, but when Ashton Carter, the new Secretary of Defense, has directed the services to do a better job of opening up skills.
General Wickham, let's talk about the serious situation. Many in this country, and I know when I was up in Canada a week or so ago, that was a huge story up in Canada, that Canada was not doing enough to bring in Syrian refugees. My question for you, General Wickham, what is the American responsibility to bringing in these people, these Syrian refugees?
The responsibility lies in historically and symbolically in the Statue of Liberty, and which the French gave to us. And I think it lies in our Constitution. And we've always been a nation willing to bring in migrants and immigrants, and we've done a good job. We could do more. The few thousand Syrians we allowed is inadequate. The difficulty, of course, is an ocean. We're not so proximate to the source of problems, but we could do better, and I think Obama is trying to open up the opportunity there. Canada has done better. One of the most important things that people have got to realize is that if The Economist had an article here just a week ago pointing out that the European nations are declining in population over the next decade. They're going to get smaller. Therefore, they can't take in more people. They need to bring in fresh blood, new entrepreneurial skills. The same with Japan. Canada has been leading the way in that progress of letting people come in. And we've done well. Our nation is much more vigorous because of the migrants we brought in.
Well, you know, that image
is going to become an iconic image, I'm sure, of the little boy drowned on the beach there. And you almost think you go back to that iconic image of Vietnam. And I think it was from 1974 that the Associated Press photographer shot of the little girl who had been napalmed. It was one of those images, wasn't it, General, that's going to be around a long time?
Oh, amen. You're exactly right, Bill. You've got good memory there. Another one of those iconic images was somebody shooting a Viet Cong in the head.
Yes.
In Saigon.
Yes.
And those things linger, and they do turn attitudes around. I just read in the New York Times this morning that the image of that little boy on the beach has gone viral all over the world. And I think it's helped turn things around. I think it's a tribute to Germany and Angela Merkel, the leadership that she has shown there in opening up the borders. Germany can use more migrants, and they've done well at it. Now, there's a difficulty, of course, when you bring them in. You've got to have housing. You've got to have jobs. You've got to care for them with health care. That's going to take time. So it's more than just opening up the floodgates. You've got to have facilities, capability to absorb them. And I think Europe is beginning to realize they need to do a better job of that. Going back to the origin of all of this is the god-awful mess in Syria with Assad and his father, what they have done to that country, destroying that country and driving millions of people out. And we're trying, of course, to see what's the alternative. Unfortunately, the alternative to Assad as a leader of Syria is, guess what? The Islamic State. Do we want those barbarians running all of Syria? They occupy over 40% of Syria now. And unless Assad is bolstered in his government until some sort of qualitative government replaces him, and the Russians are moving in that direction to try to bolster him and then negotiate a solution. If we don't do that, we could see Syria go down the drain and the Islamic State ruling that whole important country with oil and other natural resources. That, I think, is a god-awful event.
All right, let's go to the live line. Our friend Jim, Jim Kelly, wants to join in the conversation about Syria.
Hello, Jim. You've always got good questions.
Thank you, General. General, along with not just the cause of Assad and ISIL's conflict, but we're seeing these Syrian refugees, we're seeing European states wanting to drop the gate and say not Hamas to any more refugees, whether it be Hungary or Greece or Italy or anybody else. Even Germany is starting to get a little fed up. But my real question is this: what can we do to encourage Islamic states like Saudi Arabia and the other Gulf states to take more of the load as opposed to this, you know, very dangerous trek across the Mediterranean into Europe?
Yeah, that, Jim, is a superb question. You're right on target. Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, Egypt too, can do much more than they have. And they're now beginning to feel the pressure. Saudi Arabia is feeling that pressure. Iran could take in more, guess what? And I think they will, now that this nuclear deal is done. Now, who's doing the influencing? NATO is playing a role in that regard. The Gulf State Council is playing a role. And John Kerry is playing a superb role in trying to encourage more movement there. And I think also we need to recognize what Putin is trying to do with Syria and other places in the Middle East. He could say we don't want any Russian influence. On the other hand, Russia can play a positive role. We need Russia to play a positive role in helping to solve world problems rather than to shun them. And I think that's part of the negotiating tactic. John Kerry has spoken with Putin on this very matter that you raised, Jim. Angela Merkel, who speaks fluent Russian, and Putin, who speaks fluent German, they talk to each other every week on the telephone in each other's language so that they communicate directly. So Merkel is playing a role offline. And I think you're exactly right the Middle East states need to do a better job.
All right, let's take another call on this topic before we take the break. Roger would like to speak with General John Wickham. Go ahead, Roger.
Hello, Roger.
Yeah, General, my question for you is, with ISIS and all the radical groups over there, and with us only happening to be wrong once for severe, say, a nuclear power plant, another 911 to occur, what's to prevent these groups from infiltrating these immigrant groups and being brought right into our country and creating havoc upon us?
Okay. Thank you, Roger.
Excellent point, Roger. And I think everyone's concerned about that. The Europeans are. And that's why they're doing some vetting of the refugees as best they can where they come across. When they're bringing little Chinese children, babies, it's easier, of course, but you're exactly right. And the vetting is going on, and there's much more sensitivity. There's going to be some that'll get through, no doubt about it. On the other hand, we just can't shut the gates and say nobody comes until we check your blood. I think we've got to do what we're doing.
Well, Roger really does. I think that's kind of the heart of a lot of the nervousness that Americans have,
Amen.
And Canadians, too, about bringing them to the North American continent. General Wickham, don't go away. We're going to take a break right here. We're going to tell people about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. For a fine experience in southwest New Mexico. It's a great weekend getaway this time of year. So pleasant over there. The leaves are turning, the aspen trees turning a golden color. Really pretty up there. The great places to stay like Fayetteville Hot Springs Resort, Little Toad Creek Inn, and Pinos Altos Cabins. Find out about the many places to stay and so many things to do on their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. Be right back.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify online. Term required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:51 on this newly minted Monday afternoon. General John Wickham joins us once a month here on the program. General Wickham, of course, an expert on Asia, so I want to ask him about China and Korea watching nervously as the Japanese government moves more and more toward militarization. General Wickham, what do you think?
Yes, the Abe, the Prime Minister of Japan, you're exactly right, Bill, is seeking to get a constitutional amendment which would change their constitution to allow Japanese armed forces to be used in helping an ally outside of Japan. Right now, the Japanese forces can only be used for self-defense. Incidentally, that part of the constitution was written by an American woman, Colonel, that was put into the writing business with others by MacArthur, who wanted a little broader based. But it's likely those words are going to get changed. There's resistance, of course, in Japan because the memories of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and all of the devastation and sacrifice of the war are still vibrant in Japanese public. On the other hand, Abe believes the time has come to be much more engaged in world matters. And that's why I think it's wise to do this, prudent to do this. I think it would be welcomed in South Korea. China, of course, would be upset about it. China still has vivid memories of what Japan did to China. And I've been over there a number of times. Perhaps you and other of your visitors, your listeners, have too. And so the Chinese still have visceral memories of Japan.
And the Chinese just had a big victory parade, didn't they?
The big victory parade. And you could argue, why are you doing that at this time? Well, because China, like many countries, Russia too, is very concerned about nationalism. People are proud of their country, and China is proud of what it did. It defeated the enemy in World War II, played a leading role in that regard, and that's why it's a member of the Security Council of the United Nations. So Japan, China has a right to be proud of its history. And so I can understand why they're doing this. They showed off a lot of the military equipment. It's power. They have got good military equipment. But China is still subordinate to the United States and Russia in terms of quality of military equipment and numbers of it. They've got a lot of infantry, but they don't have the quality equipment yet.
All right, let's go back to the live line. Dave has a question for General Wickham about Japan. Go ahead, Dave.
Hello, Dave. I was just answering your question. The reason why Japan is militarizing is because Japan has some islands in the South China Sea that China is disputing the ownership of these islands. These islands are rich in oil and gas, and Japan is very poor in oil and gas, and gearing up for a possible war with China because Japan is very poor in oil and gas, and these islands that Japan has are very rich in oil and gas, but China is disputing the ownership, and that's why both China and Japan are beefing up their military.
All right. Let's hear what General Wickham has to say about that.
You're right. The islands that are in contest with other countries are what's going on now. And I think that China has begun to ratchet back its presence on those islands. Japan is concerned about that, as is Indonesia and the Philippines and the U.S., as we should be. And we've been talking to the Chinese about that. And Prime Minister Xi, when he comes over here to meet with Obama, that will be a number one topic to talk about. So I think you're right, yes. Seeking natural resources is important. And a little interesting observation about that, because it may be around the corner for Japan. Off the coast of Egypt, commercial companies have discovered the largest natural gas supply in the world that will enable Egypt to be free of any outside influence for a century or more. Now, Israel is upset about that, because Israel thought they were going to be the natural gas supplier for Egypt, no longer. So it's conceivable that there's natural gas off of Japan. They haven't discovered it yet, but my guess is they will.
Wow, I had not heard about that. Thank you, General. Did you read this book about Putin? I think it's called Putinism.
Yes, a remarkable book by a scholar that studied Russia. And as I mentioned to you, Bill, I studied Russian language for a couple of years at West Point and have been to Russia officially a couple of times, so I have an interest in that part of the world. Some interesting things about their Russian leadership that we need to understand. It is more than a Putin or more than a Gorbachev or more than one individual. Russian movement in its policy is based on historical trends. One of the trends has been anti-West, because Russia has been invaded by the West for a long time. We all know about Napoleon in World War I, World War II. So that's part of it. It's also a suspicion of Western values and ideas, and the belief that we, the Russians, have a better view of world history and better values. There's an interest in the Russian church, a Russian Orthodox Church, which does not recognize the Pope, but is very influential in Russia, believes the same thing, that these values are important. It's part of Russian nationalism, and that is what's driving Russia to try to resurrect some of its historical influence in the world and some of its territory. That's one of the reasons Crimea was so important. Well, Crimea also had economic reasons on the Black Sea, and that was vital to Russia. Some interesting things, I think, that are developing that are moderating influences. Russia has been interested in Ukraine, of course, former part of Russia. But the Ukrainian ceasefire that has been enforced now for several weeks is holding. It's the best ceasefire yet in that part of the world.
All right, General, we're going to have to wrap it up. Thank you. Thank you, by the way, General, for going to the Oro Valley, the flag-raising ceremony last Friday. I saw some of the pictures on Facebook. You looked great.
Oh, that was a memorable thing, and I think it's a tribute to Oro Valley and its leadership to memorialize that.
Well, General Wickham, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for your service and your support of this program.
Well, God bless you, Bill, and thanks for your wonderful program.
Thanks a lot. General John Wickham with us. Always an honor to have him here on the program. Remember, Mike Shaw is going to be host. Mike is the host for 4 Tucson at 4, and Mike's going to host right after the Buckmaster Show on Wednesday this much talked about the supervisors, Allie Miller and Ray Carroll, sitting down at the same table at from 1 to 2 on Wednesday here on KVOI, right before our coverage begins of the Republican debate. Hugh Hewitt will be moderating that, so we'll have that exclusively. So lots coming up for you on Wednesday, and Mike, of course, has the 4 Tucson at 4 show this afternoon, then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe, the Daily Double, the DeSimone Daily Double from 8 to 9. So lots of local talk
here on KVOI, including the Buckmaster Show, back with you at 12:04 tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.